Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Good Monday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening Commodity Market Report. In an agricultural policy document released today, China says it will end its soybean purchase program and replace it with a direct target price subsidy starting with the 2014 crop. Under the old program, China would buy a farmer's entire soybean crop at a fixed floor price in an effort to protect Northeast China farmers' profits. Under the new policy, the government will start a target price direct subsidy, which will subsidize farmers directly when the market price is lower than the target price. Instead of selling to the government, farmers will sell their beans in the open market. China's new policy goes into effect on April 30th of this year. The National Cotton Council says that U.S. producers intend to plant 11.26 million acres of cotton this spring. That would be up 8.2% from 2013. Brazilian officials say dry weather is sapping yield potential of the 2013-14 soybean crop in Rio Grande do Sul, that's Brazil's southernmost state. With 80% of the crop in the sensitive flowering and pod-filling stages, chances of real losses are mounting with each dry day. Rio Grande do Sul is expected to produce about 13.5 million metric tons of soybeans. That's up 10% from the year before. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is 15,791. It's down almost 3 points. The NASDAQ, 4135. It's up about 10. The S&P 500, 1796. It's down about 1 point. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Weather conditions across the Midwest are likely to improve as we get into the latter part of this week, the weekend, and next week, with warmer temperatures becoming common across the region, ending this prolonged period of bitter cold conditions. Over the weekend, of course, temperatures were still nasty cold across a big part of the region. Many highs were only in the single digits and teens, and there were some 20-degree temperatures in a few locations. We also saw some additional snowfall across portions of the region. All of this translated into a rather uncomfortable weekend for many areas, but there were some warmer temperatures noted across parts of the region yesterday afternoon, with some teens and 20s becoming more common after the very cold start to the weekend. The lowest temperatures that occurred over the past few mornings were certainly below zero across the northern parts of the Midwest, and we saw temperatures dropping below zero as far south as some interior northern portions of Indiana, northern Ohio locations, and this morning we've got temperatures that are below zero even further south than that in some locations. We do have sub-zero readings in northern Missouri and central Illinois, and near-zero readings in southern Ohio as well as interior southern portions of Indiana. Temperatures in the negative teens and negative 20s still in portions of the upper Midwest and northern plains, so we are still very much deeply in the grasp of a bitter cold air mass. As we go through the rest of the day today and tomorrow, we'll likely see this cold still hanging on, but a break in the pattern is coming, and we may expect to see maybe a warmer bias to temperatures for a while that might last a week, maybe as much as 10 days. We'll keep an eye on that. This will occur as we get into the latter part of this week. The temperatures tomorrow morning, though, will be still bitterly cold, with sub-zero readings down into northeastern Kansas, northern Missouri, southern Illinois, southern Indiana, and portions of Ohio, with negative teens and negative 20s expected again tomorrow morning in the upper portions of the Midwest. But that may just be the last of the really bitter cold days. We'll expect to see some other sub-zero readings, but mostly up near the Canada border. As we move from Wednesday into Friday of this week, there is a chance that some of that cold might reach down deeper into Minnesota or Wisconsin, but it will not reach into the lower Midwest. We'll expect the low temperatures in the lower Midwest to perhaps dip down into some single digits and teens, teens as we finish out this work week, but that will be as cold as it gets. And then, like I said, as we move forward into the weekend and next week, there's a very good chance we'll see temperatures trending warmer than normal across at least a portion of the Midwest. Precipitation this week is also going to take a little bit of a break. No more major storm systems are expected across the region for a while. We did pick up on some additional snow over the weekend, but that will be the end of it. I think there will be a weak frontal system that will pass through northern portions of the Midwest here during midweek that will produce a little light snowfall. But the next significant storm system will be focused on the southeastern corner of the country, where ice and snow will be common coming out of Georgia into the Carolinas and parts of Virginia. That will occur over the next 2 to 3 days. But that storm system will take a route to our south, and most of the Midwest will be free and clear of that storm system. The next opportunity for precipitation of significance across the Midwest will probably come in a succession of small disturbances that will march from northwest to southeast across the region as we move through the weekend and into next week. But the temperatures will be warmer during that period of time as well, and we'll likely see both rain and snow occurring across the Midwest during those periods of time. Down in South America, Brazil's weather will continue mostly unchanged. There will be an increase in precipitation in portions of the south and far west, and that will likely translate into some better crop conditions in parts of Rio Grande do Sul, portions of Paraguay, Paraná, and portions of Mato Grosso do Sul. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
The 25th annual All-Day Ag Outlook meeting is March 4th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. And along with our great panels on corn, soybeans, and cash grain markets, we'll hear Sue Martin's Agricultural Outlook. Murray Wise will give us the lowdown on land values in 2014, and we'll get everyone up to speed on the commodity title of the new farm bill. The cost is $30 and includes a continental breakfast, Beef House lunch, and 25th anniversary commemorative hat. Guarantee your spot. Register now at 217-333-7300 with your major credit card, and we'll mail your tickets. That's 217-333-7300. Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter May wheat, 641 and a half up three. Soft May, 579 and a quarter unchanged. March corn, 443 and a half down three quarters. December, 459 down one. March soybeans, 1337 and three quarters up six and a quarter. November, 1128 and a quarter up six and a half. March soybean meal, 449.50 up 310. March soybean oil, 38.85 up 29 cents. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave. Glad to be with you again.
Today is USDA reporting day, so are we expected mostly a muted affair, and then we'll see what happens at 11?
Well, anything we say here this morning is probably going to be wrong this afternoon, but in anticipation of the report, I think that the one number that needs to be watched closely is going to be our domestic soybean numbers. I think, you know, we've been able to rebuild the residual number over the last several reports. But with the export sales commitments that we've booked for this year's crop against what the USDA's previous expectations are, that and the meal are going to be numbers to watch closely.
So what would we anticipate? Maybe a 10 million bushel deduction, something along those lines?
Yeah, I think that warrants consideration. I think realistically, though, you got to be mindful that the trade has anticipated this fairly well. The net markets are up a little bit here this morning in anticipation. And I think, you know, I would be very challenged to basically jump in there on any kind of strength and go long this market. I think it's a vulnerable to a buy the rumor, sell the fact type scenario.
So the question then becomes, for those needing to market November beans, mm-hmm. You see 11.28 and a half, what do you do about it?
I would not split the difference for 2.5 cents. We've had orders in the chute at 11.30, basically assuming that that would get, with the 30-cent basis, $11 out of the field. You know, we've been looking at making some commitments there. I'm thinking it's a good value level. If Brazil's production figure is any bigger than what we've heard about in the past, or if we get a really good production season here in the United States this summer, we're probably going to have bean prices on the defensive going forward.
Turn your attention to corn. The anticipations there?
Not really. I think the market's fairly priced. We've been able to basically climb up to some resistance levels. I think it's a trading range affair, and if they don't give us any a bone to chew here today, it'll probably turn defensive a little bit.
So would you make the same case then for December corn 459?
Yes, I think, you know, we crossed our fingers for 460. We touched that price this morning or overnight. I would trickle out some sales there as far as, you know, that 15% that the crop insurance won't cover up to maybe a third, 35% is something to consider at this point. I don't see the market getting up and running away from us.
Thank you much, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
That's Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Current tick in the marketplace. March corn, 443 and a half, down 3/4. December, 459, down 1. March beans, 1337 and 3/4, up 6 1/4. November, 1128 and a half, up 6 3/4. March soybean meal, 448.90, up $2.50. March soybean oil, 38.88, up 32. Soft May wheat, 580, up 3/4. July, 584.5, up 3/4. Hard red winter wheat for the May, 641.5, up 3. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL, 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3, Urbana.